This is an iHeart podcast.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. How fired up am I tonight? That's how fired up I am. And we're gonna step away from politics for a minute. This hour, we're gonna get to the Pentagon losing gear, changing the name of military bases. We'll probably get to some Trump heavy D stuff, emails. We're gonna do lots of these things. But first, let's have a chat. Pull up a chair, all of us. Let's have a chat. Times have changed. That's an old saying. Obviously, times are always changing. It makes sense. That's kind of the whole point of time. But either way, the era we live in now, it actually is different than virtually every other era we live in, because it's more digital than it has ever been before. My kids play video games. Obviously, we regulate that heavily, but they play video games. And they play video games with their friends. Now, depending on what age you are, you have a different image in your mind, believe me, I'm going somewhere with this, of what I meant when I just said they play video games with their friends. When I was 14, like my oldest son is, and I was going to play video games with my friends, my buddy and I, no, it wasn't Pong, Chris, up yours, okay? I'm not that old. Anyway, sorry about Chris. It was my buddies and I would get together and we would play Madden, a football game, against each other. We're sitting there in the same room, yelling at each other, talking trash, playing Madden on the same couch. Woo, you suck in your face, loser. When my sons play video games with their friends, they're actually physically alone. They have a headset on and they're talking to their friends wherever their friends happen to be, in their homes or whatever. It's way more than that, though. It's such a digital age that if you get on the subway tonight or a train, or the last time you were in an airport or on a plane and you looked around you, you wouldn't see this too much out of the older folks, although older folks have fallen victim to this too. I have fallen victim to this too. But what's everyone doing? Everybody. What are they doing? On their phone. They're looking down. They're texting. They're on their phone. They're on the phone. Now, I'm not doing the back in my day thing. I'm really not. I'm going somewhere with this. There are goods to that, and there are many bads to that. Everything's a trade-off. But there is definitely something that has negatively affected this society as a result of this. And that means you and I, we have to make changes. I'm going to play something for you. It's audio of a girl. I'm not going to give out her name because I don't want you to blast her. I'm not trying to blast her. I don't care. She's not important for what I'm trying to do here. She appeared on some podcast that I don't know anything about, and I don't know who she is. None of that stuff matters. But I want you to listen to this girl talk, and then you and I, we're going to talk. Here she is.
I think, the biggest thing that, annoys me in, the whole dating world is, talking stages. That's so annoying. The inconsistency in them. I literally, hate that, so much. But I think that's, my biggest thing. It's just,
What specifically?
Just, the fact of just, I don't know how to word this, in talking stages, and it's just you're labeled that, and it's people are considered you can't you're just confused, and most of the time the girl gets attached or something, and they see it it's gonna lead to a relationship, and it's always not, and it's just that's my biggest thing is I just hate the whole how talking stages are so normal.
Okay, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Pause on that for a moment. Do you know that in Mongolian society, you know, I'm a big fan of Genghis Khan's Mongolian society. Even though they killed 40 million people, I'm still a big fan of the society. Let's let bygones be bygones. Everyone makes mistakes. But did you know that you would be on a horse at the age of 3? While you are out there drowning Aiden in hand sanitizer because he went down to the monkey bars, the Mongols would have had you at the age of 3 on the back of a horse. So guess what you never had to have in Mongolian society throughout your years as you grew up? Guess what never had to come about? Horse riding lessons. Now, you may have to learn, obviously, you're going to have to learn how to shoot a bow from a horse and do various things from a horse. But as far as getting on a horse, riding a horse, there was no need for lessons because it was simply what life was. Your life was on a horse. That's what you did. For your parents and their parents and their parents, and frankly, for every single other generation in the history of the world, talking to other people was not something you really had to give lessons about. And I realize there have always been speaking courses and how to get better speaking in front of people. I know that, but you never, your parents and no other human in the history of mankind has ever had to sit somebody down and teach them how to have a conversation. Why? Because it was simply what you did. There was no iPhone. It wasn't the digital age. There was no social media. These things weren't around at all. Conversation was what happened. If you walked into an airport in 1985, there might be people reading a book or a magazine, but you know what? You know what you would have noticed? If you could walk in an airport today and then, boom, teleport yourself back to 1985 and walk in an airport, you know what would strike you? The conversation. It's so quiet, except for the intercom. It's so quiet in an airport now. 1985, everyone's speaking to each other. Why? That's what you had to do. So what does all this mean? Where am I going with this? And then we'll get back to politics. Parents, I'm talking to myself here, believe me. We must be more proactive than any parent generation has ever had to be teaching our children how to talk. They don't know how to talk because it's an online world. It's a social media world, and I'm not doing the kids these days are so stupid thing because that's not true. It's not their fault. That's the world they've grown up in. When you want to, quote, talk to your friends now, you get on your phone. You text message with them. You're on Facebook. You're doing other things. But you're not sitting down talking to somebody, speaking in complete sentences, listening when they speak complete sentences back to you. And then, and this is what gets people, how do you carry the conversation from there? I know this because I've begun working, and I've always worked on them, but I've begun working, and they don't know this. Actually, if they're listening tonight, now they know this. This is about to ramp up majorly even more in the Kelly household. My sons are going to learn how to speak even better. Already, they're forced to do this. When you're around family, friends, things like that, there's no phones, there's no nothing. Get it all in your pocket. Have a conversation. Put it away. Look someone in the eye. How was your day? What did you do? What are you eating right now? Oh, you like it? You don't like it? Oh, that stinks. All right. Learn how to talk. Learn how to listen. Learn how to ask questions. Learn how to enunciate. Speak up. Look people in the eye. Basic things your parents never had to sit you down and teach you. I speak now for a living, which is ridiculous, but people ask me, hey, Jesse, where'd you learn how to do this? Where'd you learn how to do radio? I am a normal person. I never had a school. I never had a lesson. My parents never sat me down and said, Jesse, it's really important that you look someone in the eye and complete sentences, because they never had to. That was simply the world I grew up in. I grew up, and when we sat at the dinner table, you talked. Dad's going to talk. Mom's going to talk. Mickey's going to talk. That's my sister. People are going to talk. I had to talk. You listen. You speak back. These kids today, because they have not been afforded that opportunity to live in that world, they need an extra set of lessons they are not currently getting. If you don't get purposeful, if I don't get purposeful with teaching my kids, and kids, I know you're listening, teaching yourself how to speak, You will become an adult. You will be 30 one day, 40 one day, and you will still be speaking like this.
I think like the biggest thing that like annoys me in like the whole dating world is like talking stages. Like that's so annoying. Like the whole like, and just like the inconsistency in them. Like I literally like hate that like so much. But I think that's like my biggest thing. It's just like.
What specifically?
Just like the fact of just like, you like, I don't know how to word this. Like in like talking stages and
don't make fun of that girl. That's not her fault. And frankly, that's not even her parents' fault because they didn't know. I sympathize with parents. We didn't know. I would have to teach my kid how to talk. Now you do. Kids, read books, learn how to speak. Every now and then, put the phone down. There, that's it. That was Dad, Jesse. I'm getting off of this because I have to tell you a personal story. The Pentagon lost $220 billion in military equipment. You want a little personal story from me? We'll talk about that. Before we get to that, let's get to some emails real quick. Jesse, I need some straight answers. I'm buying my husband a subscription to Chalk, 30% off with the promo code Jesse. Actually, that's not true. It's 35% off with the promo code Jesse for the Male Vitality Stack from Chalk. There are times when I've had a long day that I just need a back rub to go to sleep. Then she says, just a back rub with a period after everything. She said, will this ever happen again in my household? She wants me to call her Sleepy in South Carolina. You might want to hold off on the Male Vitality Stack for your husband. I would back off on that a little bit. Do you have any idea the difference you see in yourself? 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. You should probably back off. Just don't get him that. All right. Everyone else, chalk.com, chok.com, promo code Jesse. Take it for 90 days and see how many back rubs you get. Hang on.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and maybe you're under the impression that this is the first time Merrick Garland used a, well, it's too dark outside excuse. This is him from today.
I will say you're quite right. There are many more prosecutions with respect to the blocking of the abortion centers, but that is generally because they are those actions are taken in, with photography at the time. During the daylight, and seeing the person who did it is quite easy. Those who are attacking the pregnancy resources centers, which is a horrid thing to do, are doing this at night in the dark. We have put full resources on this.
But it's not the first time. I want to make sure I give credit to Chris. Actually, I take that back. I want to give credit to myself for digging up this old clip of Merrick Garland, who has said this before. This was absolutely not Chris. This was all me.
Let me ask you about assaults on federal property in places other than Washington, D.C., Portland, for instance, Seattle. Do you regard assaults on federal courthouses or other federal property as acts of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism?
Well, Senator, my own definition, which is about the same as the statutory definition, is the use of violence or threats of violence, an attempt to disrupt democratic processes. So an attack on a courthouse while in operation, trying to prevent judges from actually deciding cases, that plainly is domestic extremism, domestic terrorism.
Remember that lesson? I'm going to come back to this. Remember that lesson we just had about speaking? Remember that? Here, let me give you, I realize I didn't help anybody out at all. Actually, maybe I did, but let me try to help you out with one little thing. People get nervous. Merrick Garland clearly has a negative testosterone level. So somebody like that, somebody that effeminate, who speaks like this, that is a human being who's going to struggle when he gets nervous, when he has to speak to senators. But speaking in front of people can make people nervous. Maybe it makes you nervous. You may be tempted, when you're nervous, to use fill words. Fill words like. Like, I don't know, like, you might, like, be tempted to like use like fill word, or you do what the Attorney General of the United States of America just did. You go instead of using fill words like or just pause for a moment, speak slower, and collect your thoughts. You don't actually have to. This is what people do when they get nervous. You don't actually have to fill every single moment with words. You can pause for a moment, collect yourself. Anyway, back to the Attorney General. This is a flashback that I found, not Chris.
An attack simply on a government property at night or any other kind of circumstances is a clear crime and a serious one and should be punished. I don't know enough about the facts of the example you're talking about, but that's where I draw the line. One is both are criminal, but one is a core attack on our democratic institutions.
Merrick Garland doesn't think crimes at night are that big of a deal. Or, well, they can't be solved. And, hey, it's not even that big of a deal anyway. I think I'm starting to figure out why the FBI still has a gigantic Most Wanted poster for innocent meemaws from January 6th. These are the only people who operate during the day. All these dang criminals and their darkness. Man, if we could just... We can't figure things out here at the FBI. Look, we're working on it, guys. Speaking of darkness, that email I just read, she finished it off. Remember I was complaining about wanting some thermals? I want thermal scopes, but the last one I priced was $7,000, so I'm officially never going to get a thermal scope. She makes a good suggestion. Chris, I think I'm going to pick this up. Regarding your thermals, a.k.a. $7,000 glasses, what is the point of being a powerful and influential member of the media and a best-selling author if you do not have minions to hop to at your every whim? If the suits are not terrified of your diva-like tantrums and threats at a complete work stoppage until you have expensive glasses, can you even call yourself a star? Chris, I've decided that I need to pick that up. I'm going to start... What? No, Chris, hear me out. Listen. I'm going to start being more high maintenance and more selfish. It's a goal of mine. It's been a goal of mine for some time. And I was thinking about this last night. I was at my son's track event, and because youth sports is a living hell, the event went on for roughly 5.5 hours. I was thinking about this. I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if they would speed this up if they knew a world-famous author was here. So I'm going to... What, Chris? So I've decided I'm going to start using a lot more. Don't you know who I am? What? This can be effective. I'm going to start just going up to random people. Teachers in the school, track events. I'm going to start doing this at work with the suits. Yeah, I'll take off my glasses. Excuse me. Don't you know who I am? I feel like this is going to be very, very effective. Chris, the next time the suits call about something, tell them, Jesse is really demanding these $7,000 thermals. Or he said, don't you know who he is? That's what we need to do, Chris. I'll quit. You know what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up your cell phone right now. I want you to dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. What's going to happen from there is you're going to get on the phone with Pure Talk. Don't worry. They hire Americans. They speak English. And you're going to work on switching things. You're going to work on switching over from AT&T or Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. But I want you to tell the Pure Talk people, when they say, hey, how'd you hear about us? I want you to say, don't you know who I am? See how much they enjoy it. It'll be hilarious. And you'll end up saving a fortune on your phone service and supporting a company that actually likes you instead of hates you. By the way, they're super nice and polite, so make sure you're nice and polite. Pick up your phone. #250, say Jesse Kelly. When they get on the line, say, don't you know who I am? You never know how effective this is going to be in your day-to-day life. I'm going to start using this pretty routinely. I encourage you to do the same. Let's get to some more emails, but before we get to that, the Pentagon's losing a lot of stuff. Losing it, eh? Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, that's not the white national anthem. Stop calling that the white national anthem. The white national anthem would have to be, it can't be Nugent. It would have to be Neil Diamond? No, what are you scoffing? You better not have just scoffed at Neil Diamond. I think he's Jewish. Isn't Neil Diamond Jewish? Isn't Diamond a Jewish name, Chris? Of course it is. Chris, don't say that. That's not right. That's not right. It is kind of funny that Diamond and Gold are both Jewish names. But he is Jewish, right? Are you a Neil Diamond fan? Neil Diamond rocks, dude. You don't know any of his music? Are you five? You don't... No, Chris, I'm under 70 and I love Neil Diamond. I'd go to a Neil Diamond concert tomorrow. I'll tell you what, single dudes out there, go to a Neil Diamond concert. I had a buddy who used to do this once. He used to go to... He was a young single guy. We were in the Marines. And he would take off sometimes and we'd get a 72. That's what they call it, for 72 hours. We'd have it a Friday or Monday off for a holiday, whatever reason. We'd have it off. And sometimes, you know, we'd all go with each other. We'd all take off to this town or that town to go get thrown out of bars and get in trouble. Sometimes he would take off by himself. And what he would do is, he would go to Rod Stewart concerts and things like that. And we used to make fun of him all the time. And he said, Jesse, it's just like, it's like taking candy from a baby. You walk into one of these old crooners and you get all these fine dimes in there, these older dimes in there. He said, Jesse, I'm the belle of the ball in that daggone place. I got to be honest, we still made fun of him, but deep down, we respected it. We respected it, Chris. Now, let's have a little chat, shall we? We've been having a lot of chats tonight. Let's have another little chat because I saw this. No one else talked about it, but headline. Pentagon lost track of $220 billion in military equipment. Lost track. Huh? Tell you what, we'll come back to this story in the moment. Just take this story and do like we do and fold it up and put it in your back pocket there, and let's have a little chat. When you're in the Marines, you have some equipment, some of your equipment, most of your equipment is given to you. You then keep it with you in your room, in your barracks room. My pack, it's with me. My various pouches and things, I'm not going to go into the actual nomenclature of it, but various pouches and things. I keep them with me. They're with me at all times. My flak jacket, my bulletproof vest, you would know it. My flak jacket, it's with me at all times. My Kevlar helmet, it's with me. It's packed in my room. It's in a closet. It's packed away. But the weapons are not. For a variety of very stupid reasons, you don't get to keep your, well, we had M16s back then. They have M4s now, but you know, we didn't get to keep our M16s with us. We didn't get to keep our pistols with us. We didn't get to keep our K-bars with us, a knife. We didn't get to keep our knives with us. Chris is asking, why not? There's a long list of reasons why not. But one of the reasons, one of the main reasons is the government wants to make sure that there doesn't become an illegal black market on military-grade weapons. So when you go on a shoot, let's say we're going out to the field, we're in the barracks, we're going out to the field for a couple days for a shoot. You have to go down to the armory. You have to check out your weapon, which has been locked and checked out, and you've got to sign it out. And then the second you're back, you got to sign it back in. So one day we were getting ready to go on a hump, a hike, a forced march. We called them humps in the Marine Corps. Brutal, I've told you. They're the most physically brutal thing ever. You don't think so. Unless you've ever done it, you don't think so. When you look at just a guy walking with a pack, no. When you throw on 70 pounds of weight on your body, and you go put in 2-3 miles even, your body starts to break down. When that turns into 10 or 15, your feet are falling off. Guys will just quit. It just breaks your will. But you always carry your weapons on you on one of these things. So we packed up our stuff, and I believe we actually went to the field for a couple days, and we went down to the armory, and we checked out our weapons, our M16s, our pistols. We were using Berettas back then. I don't know what they use now. We checked out our K-bars and our knives, and we went out to the field. I think it may have been a hump and then the field, or it may have been just a hump. I don't remember the exact details of this, but I actually have a couple of my old first sergeants who listen to the show. Guarantee one of them is going to text me or email me, and they'll know. I can't use this name because I didn't get permission. I actually got, I've been texting with one of the men I really look up to as far as forming me in my life. One of my former first sergeants. I was in Iraq with the guy. We've been texting the past couple days. Anyway, he'll remember. I bet you he's listening right now. I bet you he'll text me, but he'll remember. But either way, we get back from being out in the field and it comes time to check our weapons back in. You go down to the armory. The Marines make sure that this process is as horrible as it possibly can be because it's the Marines. And like the poster said, we don't promise a rose garden. You wanted an easy life, go join the Air Force. Anyway, when you get back, it's not like you can hardly move. You're so tired and sweaty, but you have to sit there in the armory for 2-3 hours and clean every bit of your weapon. And then you turn your weapon back in and it's checked back in and then you're finally free. All right, you still with me? The company gets back, and there's a K-bar. That's a knife, not an M16, not a gun of any kind. There's a K-bar missing. Now, no one knows where it is. There is a search immediately for this K-bar. Where were we out in the field? Let's drive around. Where'd we stop? Where'd we move? Where'd we do? Whatever the case may be, but it's lost. Now, I don't know what a K-bar costs, but I have a pretty good idea of what things are worth. I would guess in the private sector, you could probably buy one for $50, I would guess. We're not talking a fancy knife here. Private sector stuff is way better. It's just basic. Chris, would you look that up, figure out what a K-bar costs? But it's gone. What happened? Did the Marines say, hey, you know what? That's bad, but we forgive you. Well, of course, they didn't say that. Did they say, hey, you know what? You lost this K-bar. It's bad, and we're going to make you pay for it. That'll be $49.99. We're taking that out of your next check. How much, Chris? $100? Oh, gosh. Anyway, they're worth $100. Did they say we're going to take $100 out of your next paycheck? No, they didn't. Do you know what happened to us? Because of one lost knife. One knife gone. The next morning, which was a Saturday, while the entire rest of the base got off on Liberty. They went off to go chase women around and make stupid decisions. We were, I believe it was 4 a.m., we were up. And we were up and we had to meet with the leadership of our company. And when I say meet, I mean they PT'd us into the ground to where guys, the most in-shape guys, were vomiting, bent over vomiting. They PT'd us so bad. And maybe you think, oh man, that sucks. But wait, that was only the beginning. When we got done with the PT, your legs are cramping, you're vomiting, you can't move anymore. They said, get back up to your room, full combat load, get back out here. It's time to go on a hump. They then marched us all over the base all day long. I've never seen that many people pass out from exhaustion and dehydration. They would take us in the field and make us do things like just dig holes, fighting holes or mortar pits. And then as soon as you were done, fill it back in. All right, move to the left. Now dig another one. By the time the day was over, every part of your body was blistered and bloody and broken because of one lost knife that costs $100. So let me go ahead and come back to this. $220 billion worth of military equipment, they lost track of it. They didn't lose track of it. It's time to have a hard talk about life. You ready? We'll do that in a second. Let's get to this headline. U.S. beef cattle has the lowest inventory since 1962. The rancher buddies I know, and I know many, the stories they tell me about chickens, beef, things that we're used to always being there, they would curl your hair. Do you have 3 months worth of food in case the lights go out in the grocery store? You think, because you're an American and you've always had stocked shelves, that these days will always be here, but that's not how the history of the world works. Do you have an emergency 3 month food kit? My Patriot Supply has them ready to go. Not only that, right now, they're giving out $200 worth of free survival gear when you get a 3 month food kit. Don't share these. Every person in your home needs one. When you get one, please don't eat it. Save it for a rainy day, and please don't put it up on Facebook or Instagram. I got my food. Keep it quiet, please. Don't be the guy that everyone knows has emergency food. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get one today. MyPatriotSupply.com. We're going to talk about the Pentagon next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday night. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have to get to still the whole 2024 stuff. It's in the news. That'll be lots of fun. An equity plan for farming, emails, all kinds of stuff. But before we get to that, let me finish my thought here. The Pentagon didn't lose track of $220 billion in equipment. All right. They didn't lose track of these things. There's corruption. They sold these things. These things are sold. This stuff happens on a small scale around military bases routinely. This gun will go missing from the armory. This set of NVGs, night vision goggles, will go missing. This will go missing. Oh, I lost it. Oh, whoopsie. Oh, on a larger scale, when you sit in the Pentagon, surrounded by people who want to purchase the things that you're currently in possession of, at the same time you're filling up the military with a bunch of weapons-grade, pardon the pun, turds, it doesn't take a genius to figure out there's going to be corruption. You want to know something? You want to know a little secret about the military? This is not something unique to America or this current age. This is something that generals have spoken of throughout the history of mankind. If you have a supply chain, let's get out of America for a minute. Let's get to Rome. Let's say you're ancient Rome. And you're Gaius Marius, one of the great Roman generals. No one even knows who the guy exists, but he's a freaking stud. Proconsul of Rome for like seven times. It's just sick, absurdly cool life. Anyway, you're Gaius Marius, and you're up in France, Gaul at the time, fighting a bunch of Germanic tribes so they don't continue to slaughter Romans. And let's say you put in an order in whatever way you would do that back in Roman days. But hey, we need 1,000 days worth of food for my men. 1,000 days worth of food, and you send that order back to Rome. Text message, obviously the Roman version of text messaging back then. This is my formal request for 1,000 days worth of food for my men. If you actually needed 1,000 days worth of food for your men, or swords for your men, this applies to everything, by the way. Food, swords, doesn't matter what it is. You would ask for 1,500 days. Why? Because by the time it leaves Rome and actually gets to you, it is already built in logistically. They already know. It is built in that a certain amount of what you ordered will no longer be there by the time it actually gets into your physical possession. Now, what chaps me is not just the corruption. Not just that we're never going to get an explanation for this. Not just that no one will go to prison for this, because nobody in the government ever goes to prison for anything at all unless they happen to speak out against the administration. That's not what chaps me. What chaps me is the regular guy on the ground, the normal dude, the working man who's out there putting in the time. If he happens to lose his mind and drop his K-bar in the sand of 29 Palms, California, they will not only destroy his life, they'll destroy the life of everybody in the company on that day, if not days worth. Yet when you're in the Pentagon, you can lose track of $220 billion worth of equipment and nobody will go to prison. I have said this before, but I will say this again. You want to know, there are barometers you can use in life. Kind of that canary in the coal mine thing to tell when things are really bad. Or the other way, when things are good, when things are turning around. We talk a lot about getting in shape because it's not because I'm some workout freak. It's just the best example, right? I'm out of shape. Oh man, I took that flight of stairs. I'm out of breath. Maybe you start working out, eating a little better. Maybe a month later you take that flight of stairs and you actually feel good and feel bad at all. That's a great barometer that things are getting better. You want to know one of the ways you'll be able to tell we're actually getting real change in this country, change for the better? Government employees will start doing long prison sentences. Wrap your mind around this, and this is not old. This is very, very, very applicable to today. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, they have committed so many crimes in recent years, but maybe the most egregious was spying on Trump's campaign and lying to the FISA court about spying on Trump's campaign. And when they were caught, they made one guy the fall guy, and you know what he actually copped to? You know what he admitted to? He changed a black and white answer on some documents so he could get the warrant to spy on Trump. An FBI employee lied so an American citizen could be spied on. Do you know how many decades that human being should spend in prison if you were a serious country? Instead, he didn't spend a single day in jail. Not one day, he's still practicing law. You will know America is starting to right the ship, starting to turn the thing around when that guy goes to prison for the rest of his life. Merrick Garland shouldn't be giving testimony in front of the Senate. Merrick Garland should be under arrest.
Attorney General Garland, let me just ask you, does your department have a problem with anti-Catholic bias?
Our department protects all religions and all ideologies. It does not have any bias against any religion of any kind.
Well, you could have surprised me, because given the resources that you are expending and the apparently intelligence assets that you are deploying against Catholics, it appears, and other people of faith, while simultaneously turning a blind eye while people are executed gang style in the streets of our cities, including in
Merrick Garland took a letter written by the teachers union in conjunction with the White House complaining about school board parents, and he then used his position as attorney general, the top law enforcement officer in the nation, to sic the FBI after school board parents who were loudly protesting against mask mandates and critical race theory in schools. Merrick Garland should be in prison for that. That kind of abuse of power has to come with prison time, but it didn't. Sleep on your MyPillow 2.0 thinking about that. Chris, that's what you're going to need. That's what you're going to need in this country, because until that day comes, it may be hard to get some sleep unless you have the brand new MyPillow 2.0 that has the standard MyPillow fill with temperature regulating thread. When I lay down at night, I don't want to have to think that our entire federal government is corrupt and has sold us out beyond belief, and how many people at the FBI, CIA, NSA, attorney, DOJ, all of them. I don't want to have to think about how many of them should be rotting in prison instead of the January 6th political prisoners. So instead, I just sink my head into my MyPillow and my head doesn't get sweaty, and I know that I got it buy one, get one free, which is what it is right now. MyPillow.com. Promo code Jesse, MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free. Go get you the greatest pillow ever and get it now. All right? We got a whole hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.